Welcome, everyone. It is Friday, April the 5th, and we are up for another Friday roundtable discussion here at Black Sheep Rebranded with Rick, Rebecca, and myself, Sherry. Before we begin, though, I would like to give my dad a big shout out for a happy birthday, because yes, it is his birthday today, and it is his 83rd, and you know what? 83 years on this earth needs to be celebrated. It's a big deal. So, and he's healthy and doing fine. So,
new knees.
He's got two new knees. Yes. Yeah, in the last year, two new knees.
Yeah.
And he's hyped up and ready to go fishing and hunting, probably. Yeah. So, hey.
Are you ready to do something?
Absolutely. So, today we are going to talk about life,
happiness.
Happiness.
A beautiful article that I sent the two of you?
Exactly.
And it's kind of fitting that it's Roger's birthday and we're going to talk about happiness.
Exactly. How to have a happy life, I think, is eight ways to have that will lead to a happier life.
Yeah, they certainly have the potential.
They do. Mm-hmm. And I found it an interesting article. So it taps into a lot of Buddhist thoughts and
absolutely
ideas, which was interesting.
Oh,
hey, Rebecca's here too.
Yes, yeah, I am here. Yeah. I am participating.
Oh, good. Why do you think it was interesting that Buddhism came into it?
Just because of all the religions.
Yeah.
Isn't Buddhism?
Buddhism's more, about balance.
It's more about balance and mm-hmm. peace. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It's interesting. We've had lots of conversations about different religions in the last few weeks. So
Christianity has a fair bit of judgment in it. Mm-hmm. Islam has a bit of judgment in it as well. Buddhism is more about trying to find some form of balance.
Balance and inner peace is what I always think of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
isn't that what Muhammad Ali transitioned to? Was Buddhism?
I think you're right. Yeah.
Because he was looking for that inner balance, that balance with life.
Yeah, after he left the fighting scene, I think.
No.
He was
still in it.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because I've known a few people who've converted over to Buddhism, and I can honestly say that their presence has become a lot more calming since they moved over to Buddhism. They're a lot less stressed, and it was interesting. And that's part of why I really enjoyed reading this article, because some of the elements in there were like, yeah, so true. What one did you pick up on, Rebecca?
Embracing imperfections.
I like that one too.
How about suffering and self-compassion? Because the suffering one is, you know, directly right from Buddhism, understanding the nature of suffering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the balance in it, and that we all suffer. And it's that we can't, by putting too much concern on the suffering, we become more anxious and worried. But recognizing that we all suffer and it's just part of being human, we can gain some inner peace, which I thought was kind of interesting. Yeah.
There's an interesting thing whenever you sit in a Catholic or Lutheran or various other churches, and the response back to the prayer, there will be something in there about, you know, born sinful and born flawed, basically. Something along that line. And so, you know, it doesn't actually give you an evolution. It just says you're screwed to start with. Where if you go to the Buddhism, understand the nature of suffering, Four Noble Truths, and one of them is a reality of suffering. Mm-hmm. And so is there a reality in suffering? Is that we are not necessarily born flawed, but we are born to make free will choices, and because we make free will choices, then we create our own suffering.
Mm-hmm. And can you imagine, or can you identify any life that happens where there's no suffering, zero suffering? I don't know of anybody who hasn't suffered in some way, shape, or form at some point in time. And I think we grow from it.
I was just going to say that we grow from suffering and learn from suffering.
Not always.
No.
No. You know why I say that, folks? because so many people spend the rest of their life talking about their suffering. I grew up in an orphanage. I grew up poor. I grew up with horrible parents. I grew up with, you know, a shitty neighborhood. I grew up with a piss poor set of friends. I grew up, right? That suffering that they went through, that's where they stay the rest of their life because that's the only thing they're talking about.
Instead of recognizing that everybody around them also had suffering of some shape or form.
You know, I had a guidance counselor who, first week of grade 12, wrote across my transcript, will not graduate, and sarcastically wished me well with some other very negative things that she said. And whenever I think back at that, you know, people would go, well, that was a moment of being cruel or whatever. And I was like, no, she was pointing out reality, her reality, not mine, but hers. And her reality was, as far as she was concerned, I was a loser. And I was a loser because I wasn't bowing to her whim. I still graduated grade 12, just did it a couple years later through correspondence. I've graduated 5 times in post-secondary education. 6, if you count my AZ license when I went to Fanshawe. And so, but mm-hmm. The fact is, I have graduated repeatedly. But so, I've done it, you know, quite frankly, a lot like my mom, I did it my way. So when I die, please, you know, get Elvis out there and, you know, my way, because, you know, again, but the reality is, so suffering is a matter of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's one of the things that stood out for me when I went through this article before I sent it to you, is we have to accept a lot of things to ultimately find happiness.
We do. And you've spoken frequently, we've had long conversations about reluctant acceptance. And I can see the ties of reluctant acceptance in this article today.
What's going through your head?
I'm still stuck on embracing imperfections.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
Just because that's something that I really struggle with.
Why?
Just because there's a fear of being judged if I'm not perfect.
No such thing as perfect.
I know that.
Theoretically, folks, there was one perfect person who walked this earth. And that one person was put up on a cross and was crucified.
And even then, was he perfect in all eyes?
Oh, there you go. Think about that. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
And so theoretically, he was a perfect human being. He was born of God, mm-hmm. born of the Virgin Mary, right? And so theoretically, he was perfect. And yet, to so many people, even his perfection wasn't perfect.
Mm-hmm. Wrap your head around that.
And so when you start thinking about perfection, and again, I have various family members, various people from my past who, man, they hold on to this delusion of perfection. They hold on to this delusion that they are doing everything absolutely right. And man, I'm going to tell you right now, I am most days the biggest screw up in some way, somehow. And I mean it. There are times that I wake up and I go, holy shit, dude, how did you screw that one up that badly? But the fact is, I did.
We all do.
Mm-hmm.
I've already screwed up a bunch of things today. I know that. But am I dwelling on them? Am I taking them to heart at, oh my gosh, I'm a horrible human being because I picked the wrong power plan? No, it happens.
I laugh. I was out flying a few years ago with a guy who's a pilot for WestJet. And we were out turning around in a Cessna and he came in and he said, and there was a bit of a crosswind. And so it was technically a perfect landing. It was like landing on an aircraft carrier, right? It was being scored, it was being judged, right? Left back wheel hit first, then right back wheel. So we got 2 on the ground and then we put the nose wheel down, right? Because of the crosswind. It was truly a perfect, perfect landing. It was absolutely gorgeous. And I said to him, I said, but wasn't it a bit long? And he looked at me and he's like, you're an asshole. And I said, no, there's no such thing as perfect. We're going to walk away. Isn't that good enough? you didn't break anything, and we're going to walk right. But the pressure that he puts on himself for perfection, you know, leads to a degree of unhappiness.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it wasn't a perfect path, then, well, I can't be happy. And I'm like, dude, you landed where we, you know, like, and a Cessna 172, folks, isn't very big inside. And so you got two fairly big guys inside there strapped in, and we start rolling around inside there. I'm happy that we weren't, clicking coconuts together and our heads weren't going smash. That was a good landing.
It was a good landing. And then there was a reward at the end. You got ice cream.
Oh, my word. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I say, so these are the things. And so what Sherry's talking about is flying into Goderich and then going over pushing the plane into the into the parking spot and then walking over, getting some food and some ice cream, which is absolutely delightful. So, but yeah, perfection. What is perfect, Rebecca?
It doesn't exist.
So why are you aiming for it?
I guess because I judge myself. I want to be the best at something. Never felt I was.
Can't you just be the best version of you?
Yeah, that should be enough.
So, like seriously, like, not meant to turn this into a microtherapy session, but, you know, you just said you want to be the best version of something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I want to be the best version of myself.
The best of you, trying to improve every single day.
Stained glass you finished last night.
Mm-hmm.
For your niece?
Yep.
Is it one of your better? Is it your best to date?
I don't think so, because I messed up on aligning some of the pieces. But one of the other classmates said that she liked it because it looked fun. The edging looked fun because it wasn't all
perfectly oval. Because it wasn't perfect.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It wasn't perfect.
Years ago, when I owned a security company and we were putting systems in houses and businesses, including did a lot of really cool work for the ministry, the solicitor for OPP, and it was really some cool times in my life. But there was a lady who was Gertrude was her name, and she incredible artist. And she would say to me, we would look at the stained glasses she made and the paintings that she did, and she said, you know, there's a flaw in every one of them. And I said, why would you paint a leg that looked like it was distorted and going in a different direction? Why would you put that into your stained glass? Why would you put an imperfection? She said, so the devil doesn't want it.
Ah.
Because perfection and chasing after perfection is ego, and ego is devil's work.
Well, that's true. And one of the things I've learned in the last few years is how trying to reduce my ego actually leads to happiness. It leaves me feeling less worried and stressed about things, letting go, not letting things get under my skin that in the past would have gotten under my skin, like approaching things as a mentor instead of trying to be the best, trying to raise other people up to do better.
Yeah, and that would be the number two point out of this article would be practicing mindfulness, right? So that you're checking yourself at the door and you're checking what's going on. Mm-hmm. And you're going, do I really need to put it out there more? And so many times when it comes to being happy, cultivating self-compassion, yeah, right? Which means you're going to accept imperfection. You're going to accept that things aren't going to go right. And you're going to be mindful of the fact that other people... I get judged all the time, and I mean all the time. And I have, when I was a kid growing up, my parents owned a trailer park. And so, you know, people would go, well, your parents are rich. And I'm like, no, my parents have debt. And they're like, no, your parents are rich, right? Because they would see the cash going through the bingo, and they'd see the cash going through the all these different things, and they're rich. And it'd be like, no, they have a huge mortgage. No, they can't afford to do this, 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 and this that they want to because they are cash strapped. That's the nature of a business, folks. And that's the nature of things that are going on. And but people would never see that. And people would look at me and they'd say, you think you're better than me because of, and I'm like, no, like you don't even know me. And so it's really, and I think that that was one of those things that helped me throughout my entire life to understand that people will always be judging you from where they are. And they will be judging your perfections and imperfections. They will be judging everything about you based on where they are. And if I want to be happy, I need to be mindful and I need to you know, cultivate a little bit of self-compassion. And that self-compassion is, you know what? As the person said to you, I love it because it's imperfect and it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. That really made my day when she said that. It really did.
And it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you said to me this morning, did I see it? And I said, yes, I saw it. And you said, no, did you see it finished? I said, yes, I saw it finished. You said, no. No, like actually finished, like not in a picture. I said, yes, sitting on top of the fireplace. Yes, I saw it. And yes, I thought it was great. Right? That's about taking a step and understanding it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Believe.
You have to believe. And I was aware of what was going on in the class last night. And there was a point where Rebecca was being pushed about whether she should wrap her glass because it wasn't perfectly circular or perfectly ovular. Sorry, I can't speak. What came out of it, that slight imperfection of it not being perfectly ovular, actually makes it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And if you think about it, it is supposed to be a gymnast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is a gymnast in motion.
Yeah.
Well, motion generally does not have a really beautifully fine edge. It's kind of all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the beauty of what you created because you created it with your eye.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else can look at it and say, wow, that looks like shit. But you know what? Somebody else is going to look at it and go, I wouldn't even know where the hell to begin. And on the face of this planet, the largest proportion of the people, even if they say, oh, I don't think this looks very good, are not going to know where to begin.
Yeah, that's true. And all the hard work that goes into trying to get those pieces to fit together, get them to line up so that when you do go to solder them, there's not huge gobs of solder between things.
Mm-hmm.
It takes practice.
And speaking of stained glass, since we're on that topic, there was another student, and the last couple of weeks she's been rather hard on herself, saying that she can't draw, so she didn't want to do her own pattern. But then Sherry actually said last night that she's actually drawn mountains. And did a mountain scene, and it turned out really nicely.
Yeah. She's another student who, she's a little younger than us, and she's always bringing in patterns to do. And when she finished her previous one, I commented, well, why don't you just draw one? And she's like, oh, no, I can't draw. But then our instructor got out a circle maker and, they drew a circle, and then she just sort of ad-libbed. And she actually drew some gorgeous mountains for a friend who's moving out to Calgary. No, go ahead.
It's amazing to see somebody else's growth. You know, because last night she was doing this plant piece, and she was on her last piece of glass, and she hadn't broken it yet. But then it broke. And we're all like, we've all feel her disappointment. It's like, no. And that was the last piece of her glass. And then another student bought that glass, another piece of that glass, just so she could use it. And it was so beautiful.
And she just created another solder line.
Yep.
And it's going to look gorgeous. The extra solder line, it actually probably will. Nobody's going to know that it was a break.
No. And it'll be her piece, like
that'll be her imperfection right inside her glass.
Yeah.
Number 7 in this article. We have expectations of ourselves, for others, for life in general. And when reality doesn't meet these expectations, we feel disappointment, frustration, anger, more.
That one is mine.
And the expectations, again, are these things that we put our expectations on others.
And when other people don't deliver the way that you expect them to deliver, you get disappointed. You get sad. And you get frustrated. Should you, though?
Right. And this is this idea of trying to be happy means it's a lot of letting go.
Mm-hmm.
And expectations is definitely one of those big things. And because, as it says in here, number 6 is recognize the impermanence of all things. That nothing is permanent.
Can I take that one and run with for a second?
Yeah, you go right ahead.
Because this immediately brings me to one of my fondest memories as a child is Christmas morning. Christmas morning, going down, finding the tree, all the presents under the tree. Not that we had a lot. I don't think that I'm talking about a lot of presents. I'm just talking a few presents under the tree, but they were presents for us. They came from people and they were nice. And the family always got together, gathered around, and it was that special family moment. Opening presents, then having Christmas dinner, meeting the rest of the family. There was, you know, it was idyllic in some ways, at least in my brain. And then expecting, as I've grown up, that to be recreated over and over again. And just like Rick was just saying, things aren't permanent. Things change. And that I've struggled with that one because I've always wanted things to be that idyllic moment. And it's not always there. What happened before is not what's going to happen again. And I think that's tricky.
One of the hard things to really wrap your head around is the things that we cherish, you know, buying a new vehicle, whether it's brand new or new to us. Eventually, 99.999% of the vehicles in the world are going to get crushed into a pop can and remelted down. But, oh, the day we take, oh, my word, oh, I love this car. But it's going to fade, right? Motorbike, boat, plane, helicopter. Oh, my word. There is nothing that smells sweeter to me than sitting in a helicopter that's turbine and having that turbine start to spin. Right. And the smell of the jet fuel and the smell of that turbine, the sound and that bit of vibration that starts when it first starts to really spin, there's a bit of a heavier vibration. And then that vibration starts to smooth out. And so when you're sitting there, right. But guess what, folks, all that shit, it all ends, all of it. And so, you know, we all go, oh, my God. We got to keep this so perfect. We got to do this. We got to do this. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Somebody else someday is going to live in your house. Somebody else someday is going to take the wall color that you went out and you picked and you spent so much time trying to find the perfect wall color and you spent all this time trying to map it all out and going, oh, this is going to be perfect. Watch me go. This is going to be just heaven on earth. And then what happens?
Ooh, that's gross.
Somebody else paints your wall because it's not yours anymore. Doesn't matter. You know, it really doesn't matter. You know, talking to Larnie there back last summer, and we were talking about his John Deere combine, and it's got these beautiful stripes all over it, and these stripes are just you know, amazing. He's telling the story of the guy who, you know, was into racing, and he had stripes on everything, and he had flames on everything, and so, you know, somebody said to him, well, you got to take all the stripes and you got to take everything off all the equipment because it won't sell with all that stuff on it. And so the guy started to take it all off, and then he was like, no, screw it. It is still mine, and until the day it is not mine, I'm putting the stripes back on, and it is going to look like mine until the moment it's not mine. Then the other person can decide. And Lorne's like, I love it. Combine still looks the same. You know, and this is where this understanding and letting go and this evolution is so important. Because again, people lose their living mind. Talk about your dad on his birthday a few years ago, right? He had a gun that had an imperfection due to a misfire. And so then it was jamming up, and so it wasn't actually ejecting the bullet the way that it needed to. And so I'm a machinist by trade. I'm a millwright. I've worked with a bit of steel in my life. And I'm like, do you want me to fix it? You're not a gunsmith. I'm like, you're right. Do you want me to fix it? You don't know what you're doing. You're right. Do you want me to fix it? Well, you better not screw this up and blah, 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 blah. And then when I was done, and it worked, and he had a name. I forget what he named his gun, but the gun has a name. It's one of his favorite shotguns for going skeet shooting, which he does twice a week. And when it was all said and done, there was the most reluctant acceptance that I hadn't screwed it up and that it was actually better. It wasn't perfect. You're right. It wasn't perfect because there was a little bit of metal that had to be removed. But it worked, and it worked, and he still uses that gun. But it's that fear that we have because everything must stay the exact same. And it's that fear. And so trying to get past that fear is a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it involves something you love.
Or something that you've worked hard to do. Mm-hmm. Right? Like this morning, you know, in moving furniture around so that we get this place on the market ASAP, so that we can put an offer in on a place that is up for sale that we currently want. Taking that and so Rebecca said, well, can I put this in this cabinet? And I said, sure, you had that cabinet made. So just be really careful and really think about what you're putting in there so we don't scratch it up. Because again, Sherry will lose her living mind. However, should she? No. Should she? Yes, because we should be taking care of the items. And so going back to the guy with the combine, yeah, it's mine. I want to take care of it. I want it to be identified as mine. I want this to be mine. And yet understanding that, hey, you know what? It wasn't done out of malice. If a scratch is on it, it wasn't done out of carelessness, right? And so it's about trying to take the time to always go, how do I follow these 8 steps? Of letting go, accepting impermanence, accepting imperfection, accepting a lot of things, and giving over a little bit of free will to understand that, you know, que sera sera, as we talked about yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I believe found lean into discomfort, again, to be speaking towards me. Just because.
Okay, so can I say something? I found that one hard to understand. So can you explain it and how you felt about it? Because I did struggle with that one.
Well, just because growth takes to grow, I think you need to be uncomfortable at least a little bit.
Okay. Yep.
So discomfort isn't going to be permanent, just like everything else on the list. It's not permanent, and they might be just uncomfortable for a little bit, but then the situation will change and you'll grow because of the discomfort if you lean into it, if you don't fight it. If you fight it, that's when things get out of balance, I think.
Well, and the biggest part of that balance is the internal balance within you, right? Because you're fighting something that is impossible to fight. Mm-hmm.
So leaning into it and pushing through it.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes total sense to me. Instead of turning your back and avoiding things because they make you uncomfortable. Taking the deep, the big step and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's, and I'm afraid of heights, as most, both of you both know. When I went to,
can I pause for 1 second?
Yep.
When you say you're afraid of heights, while you continue to, because you shut your eyes while you were talking about it. So I want you to envision being back on Maui, flying, in that helicopter with no doors. Right. So literally, you know,
and I was 1,000,
2,000, 3,000, 4,000 feet, 500 feet, 50 feet over top of something with no door and just this little bit of seatbelt holding you in while you're holding onto your camera, while you're holding on to all kinds of other stuff. So while you close your eyes again, envision yourself there, because when you say I'm afraid of heights, I think you might have to qualify that a little bit more.
I think I might have to too, because as soon as I was distracted with whales, beautiful waterfalls, incredible scenery, my fear of heights vanished. I create my own anxiety.
Because you're in your head.
Yeah, 100%.
What about when you were in an Apache helicopter?
Oh.
As the gunner. You yeah. in the nose, pilot in the rear seat. And you're out there doing maneuvers. And yes, folks, there's actually photos to prove this. But yeah, she was doing her best.
Yeah, and I was nervous as all get out getting in there. I suffer from motion sickness too, which was present. But all of a sudden, it went away. And I don't know why, but once I get past something, I can enjoy the rest of the day, the rest of the experience, because in that case, the nausea vanished. We did this really cool turnaround maneuver, which I can't describe very well, but trust me, it was very, very cool. You're flipping around on your nose practically. And then it was like a relief. So I don't know what, and I'm probably not unique in this, in creating my own nausea, my own fears sometimes because of what's in my head.
And so happiness came to you in both those places. And so despite the fact you were going to talk about this great fear of heights, suddenly it's changed from this great fear of heights to this great happiness of overcoming.
Absolutely.
And so what you did is you leaned into discomfort.
I did.
So when you said you didn't understand it,
mm-hmm.
you actually did. Why? Because you had my nagging freaking voice in your head going, what the fuck are you doing? Yes, people, I just swore. And I'm going to say it again. Seriously? What the fuck are you doing? Oh my good God, lean into it. You're not going to die. And if you're going to die, it's going to be glorious.
Absolutely.
Like, seriously.
Well, and that exactly fits the example I was going to use, which was zip lining. Because we went down one of the biggest zip lines in Canada. And I was, quote, terrified of heights. But I had the little strap. And I just stood on the edge and almost didn't go. But I was already up there and my daughter was watching. And it was like, all right, it's now or nothing. And away I went. And screamed and, yes, I had a good time.
And you leaned into discomfort.
I did.
And so if you think back to the times that have really gone south and you look back and you go, what the heck, man, that was just, whew, you didn't lean in.
Turn my back and try to avoid.
And then you're forever haunted instead of finding happiness.
Because I miss out on things.
It's not necessarily about missing out on things. It's about psychologically what baggage that creates.
That's true. That is true.
Oh, Miss Rebecca, you look like you're in deep, profound thought.
I'm just thinking that leaning into discomfort can also mean leaning into the tough conversations.
Yes.
Instead of running from them, which I tend to do.
Well, or you create a fantasy around it.
Yeah.
We anticipate what other people are going to say or other people are going to do, which I think was another
thing. We have expectations.
That's
what they're going to do.
And so one of the things that happens that's funny, so go to relationships, people, and you want to go, how do you become happy in the relationship? Leave the expectation of the door of what you think your partner's going to say and do, and actually ask, which means you're leaning into being uncomfortable, and go through all of these steps, right, about being present, being mindful, letting go, accepting imperfections.
Leaving your ego behind or reducing your ego.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And so one of the things that's really funny is that people will aim way, way, way outside of where they should. Okay, now this is going to sound like a really complicated thing, but I'm going to try to make it as straightforward as possible. When you get married, when you're in a relationship, and I was having this conversation with a guy last night, when you're in a relationship, when you think about what it is that you want out of your life, does the other person have ambition? Does the other person have desires? Does the other person have? And so there's all these layers to do you want? Do you want to evolve? Do you want to do? What are the things that need to happen? And so it becomes this thing where you look at people and you go, well, that's safe. This person is safe. They're not going to break my heart. They're not going to do this. They're not going to do that. However, they do not actually do any of the things that help you lean into discomfort and grow and let go and be imperfect and. And so people sit there and they go all the time and they stay in relationships because they think it's safe. Instead of being honest and going, will this actually lead to happiness? And the answers are, so often, no.
Mm-hmm. I can say I've done that before, for sure. And you're right. It did not lead to happiness, which is why in the end I left.
And so when you take your intellect, your emotional intellect, your psychological intellect, your physical desire to do things, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on of all the things that make you you. And if you're looking at your partner and you go, no, but that's okay. No, but that's okay. Well, the person's kind of, and I said to the guy last night that I was talking to, I said, you know what? What you're thinking about is this person when basically you're at an all-inclusive resort, right? You're in high school, you're in your university, you don't really have a lot of the, you know, day-to-day making mortgage payments and going to work and doing things that really truly get into the grind of life. And so you're at this all-inclusive resort. Yeah, you have some things you have to do. You have to follow some rules. There's some things you have to step up for. But by and large, yeah, it's pretty easy going life. And so how hard is it to be in love then? It's not. How hard is it to create this delusion when there's no expectations of growth and change and evolution to go, yeah, I can pretend to be in love. And then how long does that pretending last? Because I went with what is 100% safe, thinking that leads to happiness, when in reality, folks, when Rebecca posts this article, please read it, happiness does not come from safety.
No, it doesn't. Playing it safe is not the path to happiness.
Not on the path to stagnation.
Recognizing who we are and pushing our limits is going to make us happy. It's not going to make us happy. Let me find. We'll find happiness in doing so.
You have that potential. And you do not have that potential if you're playing it safe. When I look back at my life and I look back at my life in love and I had this wish when I was a kid, and it's honest guy, it's going to sound weird to a lot of people today, but I had this wish that, you know, I would find the one person who absolutely, you know, wanted me. I wanted them. We would get married. We would have kids. We would grow old together, and we would you know, die. And I had that wish. And from within a couple, a very short time into my first marriage, I knew that I tried to play it safe, and it was not doing what it was killing me. And everything I was trying to do and everything I wanted to do and all the things I pushed for, again, it was this constant battle. And yet I stayed for 25 years, and I stayed for 25 years because of, again, I had that dream as a kid that I couldn't change and I shouldn't change. And therefore it was, I have to play this safe.
You weren't alone.
And I'm, you know, lots of the problems with that was, you know, got engaged at 18, got married at 20. Like, seriously, what the hell did I know? Nothing. But the reality is, going backwards is stopping and going, but true happiness is from pushing your discomfort. And that is one thing, and truly one thing, that I always am doing, is I'm always pushing. And I've, you know, my broken body tells me I have pushed endlessly, but I'm always pushing. And I'm pushing academically, I'm pushing socially, I'm pushing intellectually, I'm pushing it, you know, from an emotional standpoint. I'm always pushing to grow. And if you're in a relationship where that isn't happening, and the person is always giving you a bullshit line back, you're never going to find happiness. And that's the most beautiful thing I think about this article, right, is that leaning into the discomfort that, you know, again, when you have found your real happiness, Sherry, right, and it's when you have leaned into discomfort.
It is.
And so often you do not want to lean into discomfort. You want to go, no, and fight and argue and carry on. And it's in that discomfort that there is the incredible growth.
You're absolutely right.
What are you thinking there, Miss Rebecca?
Just thinking on all the opportunities for growth that I've missed out on.
You're not dead.
No, I know. But it's still because I was afraid of the discomfort. I was afraid of trying something new, and I didn't when I had the opportunity to do it. But like you said, I'm not dead. So there's always opportunity to.
Absolutely. Which means you have to lean into discomfort, and you have to understand. And so if you are marrying into an environment where, you know, the person does want to push themselves and they're not going to, you're never going to find happiness if that's who you are. And the person is always going to be playing it safe, and you want to be out there doing. You know, there's a beautiful friend of mine who is rolling through my head while I'm talking about this stuff. And every single time I think about her, and I'm not going to name her, but every single time I think about her, my heart breaks a bit. And my heart breaks a bit because I know that she's been loved. I know that she's had a good life. I know that things have not been absolutely horrible for her. And yet I also know they could have been just a bit more. They could have been always, like, the potential for that bit more always has been there, and yet it never was there. And it never was there because of what we're talking about, right? Playing it safe.
Fear is a pretty powerful thing when you let it get to you.
Ooh, absolutely. So what do you think here? Some last thoughts here, folks, because I'm sure we should be perhaps wrapping this up.
I'm thinking that I need to continue because I have been more willing to try to take on challenges over the years. And this just emphasizes even more how important it is. because, yeah, those examples we've talked about, for me anyway, really remind me that happiness really comes from trying things and putting myself forward and leaning into my fears and discomforts.
We're going to use Roger here for an example. Just think about all the things, right, from, you know, the day I met him, right? You want to cut down that tree by that transformer? You know, as he pushed himself, as I pushed him, as you pushed him, right, from leveling the deck to changing things in the yard to putting in the steps down the side of the house, all of these individual things pushed his level of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And they pushed his level of discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think he became happier or less happy out of those adventures?
Happier.
Absolutely. 100% happier. Mm-hmm. And so that idea of happier, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Weird. And so, yeah. So we can go through our lives, folks, and we can pull out people all the time. Let's push the envelope a little bit and lean into that discomfort and understand that being comfortable and uncomfortable is impermanent,
mm-hmm.
which is one of those other elements to grab hold of from this article, which I think was just beautiful.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that I have grabbed hold of. And I have always tried to remember that this too will end. This too will pass. And I can, if I push myself through it,
mm-hmm.
it'll end differently.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the key to me.
And likely end with a bigger smile.
Absolutely.
And Miss Rebecca?
I'm still looking forward to growing as I lean into discomfort.
So that would that include going to the pool with Kelly and Rebecca and Cherie and some other folks there on Sunday?
Yes. It's getting so close. I'm getting so nervous.
But why? Why? Oh my gosh. I wish this was on video right now, just watching that spontaneous eruption.
I know. Yeah. It was cute.
Yeah. So what?
Just because I feel like I got so much riding on this. And if I...
You got so much riding on it. Oh my God.
May I remind you that irrespective of how it goes, there'll be more opportunities?
Yeah.
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 I'm really looking forward to it, to seeing if I'm... how much I've grown in my swimming and underwater acceptance of underwaterness.
Is it a reluctant acceptance?
Yes.
Oh, we'll have to do a pantomime or something underwater.
But it's acceptance nonetheless.
It is.
Yeah.
Right. And again, that leads to that happiness, folks. And I can't stress it enough, right? When you lean in. And you go, oh, this sucks. And it's.
And you mindfully grab what can bring you joy in there.
Sometimes what you're grabbing is thin air.
I know.
Rather than hope.
Hope is a good thing, though.
No, it's not. It's the most dangerous word in the world.
I get that.
But you have to respect it.
Yes. Right?
And so it's about balance.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, it was a beautiful, beautiful article. And so for everyone here, got any more that you want to add?
Oh, I am looking forward to Sunday, getting under the water, sucking some air, blowing some bubbles.
I hope you have a good time, Sherry.
I
hope we have a good time.
I was going to say, I know I'm going to have a good time because I love being underwater. I look forward to watching your evolution on Sunday. And if I can, I'll help you make it a good experience.
Thank you.
If not, just giggle and say lean into it.
Well, I might have to bring the camera with me in the new housing if we can get it working.
Oh, I could get it working. Don't worry.
All right. Well, we'll have some pics.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust you.
It'll be my camera, not yours. My phone that we get wet, not yours.
That's not the point. But anyhow. All right. Well, for everyone here, we're going to wrap this one up, I think. And the music that Rebecca is sliding up into this, I guess, says yes, for sure. So... Hey folks, again here, Rick Sherwood, Black Sheep Rebranded, Rebecca, Sherry, myself, we truly appreciate y'all listening, and please give us your feedback on this article, because again, happiness is one of these things that everybody on this planet wants to find, and I think that there's some really good points and some good discussion about what happiness could be and might be. And as I repeatedly said, one of the things is if you think you're going to become happy by staying in a little tiny bubble, guaranteed, never going to happen. So get outside of that bubble, go out there and break some things and enjoy it and be the absolute amazing, amazing, beautiful human being that you can be and push yourself. And so, again, for Miss Rebecca.
Goodbye.
And Cherry.
Have a wonderful weekend.
And for myself, everybody, be good. We'll chat on Monday, and we're going to desperately try to get Mondays out on time. That we may have to record it in 2 minutes so that we have the time. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to work really hard to try to get back onto a schedule that actually works for people. So be good, folks. Again, thanks.